Amen. Thank you so much, you guys. Thanks for leading us in a beautiful time of worship. Good morning, Hope College. I am glad to be here on a Monday morning, and that speaks to my heart that Mondays can be hard. So we are glad you are here. For those of you who don't know me yet, my name is Jill Nelson, and I've had the opportunity this year to work with Small Group Bible Studies, and yes, little shout out to Small Group Bible Studies. Related to that, I do have a quick announcement. We had a leadership evening last Tuesday. If you weren't able to come out to that and you're still interested in leading an immersion trip or leading a small group Bible study, please contact us. You can email me or just the chaplain's office, and we'd love to talk with you, meet with you, and think about next year and leadership, because there's going to be some great things ahead. We will study the book of Acts next year, and we'll be meeting in the new campus ministry's house. Hello. That's going to be awesome. So that will be an amazing time. So make sure, if God's calling you to that, if you feel like you sense God might be asking you to do that, please contact us. We'd love to meet with you. And so fittingly, our topic today is why bother with the Bible? And before I get to the text today, I just have a question for you. I'm wondering if you guys have any recurring nightmares. I do. I always have one, and it's always the same, and it is the one where I'm unprepared for the exam. Do you have this recurring nightmare? All right, so maybe I'm the only one, but there's lots of different versions of this dream for me, and I have to tell you that I'm pretty sure they all take place right here at Hope College. So these dreams transport me back here to the very life that you are living right now. And so although I have great memories from Hope, this really isn't one of them, because in my dream, I wake up late and in a panic and knowing I am so in trouble. And I realize that my exam is 5 minutes away. I have not even begun to study. And so in the dream, you know, I'm frantically gathering my stuff. I'm rushing out of my house. I'm headed onto campus, and I'm racing through crowded corridors. I can't get to the room. And there's a couple different versions. One is I get to the door and it's locked. And so for sure, obviously, I have now failed this exam. In the other version, I get to the door and I barge in and there's totally no one I recognize. And for sure, this is not my class. And there's the prof looking at me, who I've never seen before. And they're just looking at me like, why have you interrupted my lecture? And my sweaty self is standing there like, then I wake up. So according to Psychology Today, this was somewhat comforting to me. This is a very normal dream to have. It is a common theme for a recurrent nightmare to have this particular dream. And it says, an individual may experience this during times of stress or change, or maybe even throughout their life. And I thought, yes, for me, I do wonder why it's still happening 25 years later, but it is. So why say all this? Well, I still have a recurring nightmare about the life that you're living right now. You are here at Hope, and you're actually living the dream in some ways. So great, right? But in other ways, there's hard things. There's things pressing in on you right now, right as you sit here. I was texting with some students this weekend and just asking them, hey, what are some of your biggest stressors in your life right now? And the list might be similar to your list, or your list might be different, but some of the things they mentioned, you know, housing decisions. Where am I going to live next year? Who am I going to live with? Balancing work and friends and home. And then there's the stress of still being single when I don't really want to be single. Getting a job for the summer, or getting that real job after graduation, or student debt, or just feeling like you're measuring up, or even the stress to say, am I where I need to be in my relationship with God? In other words, there's a lot of things pressing in on you. There's so much. And that's why, you know, when we begin, it's like we can feel tired. So why in the world would you bother with the Bible on top of all that other stuff? You have stuff you actually are required to read while you're here at Hope. So why would you add one thing to that? Well, as you probably guessed, I actually think you do, and you should make time for the Bible. and for the actual reading of it and studying of it. And I think actually not only on top of the other stuff, but maybe even before the other stuff. So don't get me wrong, it's not a way of checking something off a list or doing a good deed for the day or as a magic cure for what might be wrong or even as a way to stop some bad dreams. I actually think the Bible offers way more than that. And so I want to look at what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. If you're going to look on your phone, just look up 2 Timothy 3. If you're going to pull up a Pew Bible, I believe it's on page 967. So this is what Paul says to Timothy when he's in a time of a little bit, things are pressing in for him. Paul says this, "Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my suffering in the things that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord delivered me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and knowing from childhood how you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And here's his big point, I think. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul is helping Timothy anticipate how difficult and how challenging it will be to remain faithful to his calling, because things are pretty stressful. Things are pressing in on Timothy, and he's going to need something beyond himself. Paul summarizes his point in verse 13. He says, "Evil people and imposters are going to proceed from bad to worse. They're deceiving themselves and deceiving others." And Timothy lived in a world that was going to increasingly be, the people were going to be following their own way and departing from the way of God, not unlike our time. By contrast, Paul then writes in verse 14, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Paul is able to appeal to both the spiritual truth that Timothy's learned and the influential people from whom he has learned them. Over the years, Timothy then has developed this rock-solid theological and spiritual convictions. The foundation of truth for Timothy was laid when he was a child. It's meaningful to note that it was his mom and it was his grandmother who taught him to turn to Scripture. And so then in verses 16 through 17, Paul makes this very bold visionary statement about Scripture in order to motivate Timothy to experience its transforming influence. He says this, "All scripture is inspired by God," or in other versions, "All scripture is God-breathed," or one of my favorites, "All scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness." The truth that all scripture is breathed out by God is astounding, really. Just ponder that. It's awe-inspiring, and it has tons of implications about how we approach the Bible. For me, first of all, I marvel that the God of the universe wants to communicate with me. And since it's from him, it's true, and it's beautiful, and it's right, and it's without error, and we see in this text, it's also super important when life is hard. When life is pressing in on you, and the pressures mount, and the time is short, this is actually the time to take to be in God's word. God's word, his message to us, is what transforms lives. You need it, and I need it, and here's why. Paul gives us a couple reasons. It's profitable for teaching. It teaches us about God's heart and his plan for our lives. That means when we come to Scripture, though, we have to come with a teachable heart, with willingness to learn what it intends to teach, Sometimes that's going to require that we set aside what we want the Bible to say or what we think the Bible says and actually look at the words and what they are teaching. I love how one pastor puts it. He says, in our arrogance, we tend to think that God is basically a bigger version of me, and he thinks like me, and he almost always agrees with me. But Scripture is going to teach us differently if we're teachable. It's also profitable for reproof and correction. That means it shows us when we're going off course, and it shows us how to get back on track. And I need that. I don't know if you do. I need that. Finally, Scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. And here that just means we need to be trained, we need to practice, we need to be equipped, we need to be doing this every day so that we look more like Jesus every day. The Bible isn't just some pious platitudes or some nice advice or some sanitized stories that make really good VeggieTale movies. The Bible is for real life. It's not so much that the Bible is going to give you a detailed set of behaviors, like here's what to do in this exact situation. Here's the deal. It's that the Bible gets us close to God. It gives us God's very breath. God meets us in his word. When you actually read his words, feeling his breath on your face, that's what changes you. It's what changed me and what continues to change me. And so when I'm super mixed up and maybe disoriented by the swirling pressures of this world or the shifting sands of public opinion or the pounding pervasive messages of culture, I can not only be met, but also comforted, guided, taught, trained, and ultimately loved. So you might still be late for class. I know some of you might still be late for class. Procrastinators, I don't know. I'm still there. There might not be hope for us. But what you might then have, and you might have some recurring nightmares, but why bother with the Bible? It's because that's where life is. And it's where you get to hear the very word of God. And so you will gain flourishing and strength and help for your real life. Go in peace.